Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, hello everybody. Thank you so much for coming. It is another reality show, and oh my God, we are so living in another reality. God bless the solar flares. They are, kicking my beautiful royal ass. But I'm here, and our beautiful guest tonight is George Kavassalis, and he's here, and my beautiful wingman? Janine, wing girl is here. So please help me welcome George Kavassalis to the show.
Hello, everybody. Hello, George.
Hello, George.
Hello. How is everybody?
I'm good when I'm not in the bathroom. You know what?
Crikey.
It's a two-hour show. I'm going to rally. And if not, George, I'll let you know, and you can just you can chat it up, and I'll put the phone down.
Yeah. So good
Thank
to
you,
be
babe.
Back here again with you, wonderful ladies. Thank you for having me on again.
Oh, George, we absolutely love you. I mean, you and Cynthia, please send our love to Cynthia. We always feel
Will
her
do.
Presence, whether she speaks or not. You know, we truly feel her. She's a beautiful lady.
Yeah. Yeah, she sure is.
Right on. Okay, so tonight's show is going to be a little different than, from a format style. What I was thinking we would do is we're in 2013, a lot of energy moving, from a dualistic point of view, and I've prepared some questions, and the audience, I actually posted on the forum and on Facebook and asked the audience to bring in some questions. So if you're okay with that, George, I would love to do a Q&A tonight and just take it like that, if that's all right.
Hey, why not? Fantastic. Yeah, love it. That's a really good idea.
Okay, great. Right on, babe. Okay, so we'll get right into it. Most of my questions are actually almost all of them. I want to focus on, and we were talking yesterday on last night's show about Kelly Lachey's work. Me and Janina both decided we're going to call this the Incension, because it's just so clearly, obviously, an inside job. And I love that just saying Incension really immediately takes you inside, to experience it. So, heck, let's just call it the Incension.
Exactly.
So, Right? Okay, so...
Yeah.
Okay, so the first question is, if you can share any insights about the injection from the light workers from the December 21st of last year, what effect that had on humanity and the planet?
Yeah, well, it's at... quite a number of effects, and it's still having an effect, and it will continue to. So I guess the energies are being used for a number of purposes, but primarily they're being used for the God entities to establish their dominion over humanity. It's their energetic frequencies that were being anchored here. So if we could just look at it from that point of view, and what are those energies serving? How are they serving them? How are they serving us? And one way of looking at it is that it's serving them because they're creating a more comfortable environment to put more of their infrastructure, their energetic templates, and more of their infrastructures into place, more of their mental programs into place, more of their ideologies, more of their spiritual concepts. So it's providing the background environment for them to bring a whole lot more of their, I suppose, governing and functioning infrastructures into this reality. And these are the frequencies we're now starting to move through. You can see the proliferation through the New Age movement. And you can see also how it has... it's also helped to, I would say, est- establish their and entrench the people who are already in their belief systems even deeper into it. It's kind of like also establishing the mindsets of the people. It's helping to reinforce, it's probably the right word to use, to reinforce the their ideologies in people's minds. It'll make them more comfortable with the ideologies that they've been presenting because they're more, they're going to feel more wrapped up, more immersed in those energies. So it's kind of like, you know, it's for the, all the people who still want to give their power away, they're going to feel more comfortable in those energies because they're going to get a sense of feeling more safe and secure in those ideologies, in those spiritual practices. So these are all the different ways it's serving. These are all the different ways it's, you know, working its magic here in this reality for those energies, for those experiences. You know, now we look at it from the bigger picture, it's also providing challenges for a lot of people like me. Another way it served is it really got people to react, to defend their belief system. I mean, we saw a proliferation of that around the solstice. And that was because of that wave of energy that was injected into the planet. And all of a sudden, you know, the troops were rallied and people really felt like they needed to, you know, quite, in some cases, angrily defend their belief system. And I found that sad. I found it disappointing on some levels and of no surprise on another level because I just sat back and watched the whole thing just play out. It was really quite amazing how so many, and I've done it so many times before in earlier in this life and in other lifetimes where we give our power away to these ideologies. So we end up living much more of a ideological spirituality and we end up living much more of a intellectual spirituality. And until we can get past those two concepts and get into our organic spirituality and our authentic spirituality beyond all the programs, then we're going to be continuing to participate in these other programs, which are really comes down to like a really deep-seated, I've discovered a deep-seated subservience. Because it's through that deep-seated subconscious program of subservience, which is the ultimate program of these God entities, right? They've got to make you to think that they're your creator gods and they're more powerful than you are and they're going to provide everything for you because they're interested in custodianship. You know, they're going to come and preach love. They already are. They're all their ambassadors, earthly ambassadors, all the gurus and New Age luminaries already preaching love, aren't they? But at the end of the day, when you look into those practices, it's custodianship. And it's love. It's custodianship wearing the disguise of love. So it's under the guise of love. And we've got to be very careful about all these things.
Yeah, well, it's clearly, you know, I was listening to, I listen to your book all the time. I'm enjoying it because the more clarity I have, when I'll re-listen to pieces and I'll hear them differently. And you know, you spoke about, I think it was chapter 28, because I almost called Janine and went, go to chapter 28. it might not have been, but it was basically about how when something amazing happens, we go, oh, my God. And then, of course, I even went into, I mean, sexual orgasm. That's, you know, we're all screaming, oh, my God. And it's like, you know, they're literally wanting to take all this, you know, all the credit for these amazing experiences, emotional highs, and you know, it just struck me so profoundly because there was a clarity of, you know, like, wow, I'm giving my power away by saying, "Oh my God."
Every time you do that in that moment, or you know, you hear some religious person saying it's God's will, or whenever anything substantial happens in someone's life, there's an immediate charge of energy in the person. And then where does their intention go? And listen to the wording and the languaging that you use. Like, really become aware of yourself. And when you do, you realize, crikey, what an amazing program. Because we just, it's like a bank system, you know. We're just giving a little deposit of energy each time.
Right.
And you think of how many times during a day or a week or a month you say that, you're making a deposit of energy into their system. And they're just building the reserves, and they're getting more powerful and stronger each time. And you know what it's like if you just put, you know, little deposits away all the time on a regular basis. After a while, you have a fair, sizable amount that's there. So it kind of like, you know, they're feeding off us regularly, and everybody's got these programs. I've got them still. I'm still consciously working through my reactionary programs. And when we can really become consciously aware of them, it really is quite confronting at first, because we didn't realize we were that bad or we're that far immersed into these programs. But then we can redirect them. So you can say things like, when something amazing happens, you go, oh my goodness.
Right.
So you're
right.
Directing the energy in that moment into your goodness.
Mm.
If you know what I mean. So you can find other languaging.
Yes.
And
yes.
Once you've done it for a while, then you actually, it starts to become habitual. You don't have to consciously think about it. You do it automatically. So it's about reprogramming ourselves in that way.
Right on. Right on. Good stuff, my friend. Good stuff. Okay. So, all right. I'll just keep... Some of my questions bounce around. Some of them, you know, definitely... They're all good. I don't need to defend them. Okay. Pardon?
That's the way I see it. We're going on an adventure. That's the way I see it.
Well, right on, babe. Right on. Indeed. Totally. Okay. If you could explain or shed insight how the 12-strand DNA is going backwards, and personally, I if you could help me understand more that we're down to 2 strands DNA and how this really is what the organically where we're supposed to be, that would be fabulous.
Well, I'll speak on my behalf. And okay. It's exactly where I want it to be. I want to be in these 2 strands of DNA. I don't want to activate any more because I've already exhausted all possibilities and outcomes in all the other strands. So I've been on this journey to compression. So at the end of each cycle, I've gone from a 12-strand DNA being and compressed into an 11, into a 10, into a 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. And now we're going into this one. And is it going to be just 1 strand of DNA? I don't get the feeling it's going to be that. I feel it's going to be more to do with moving beyond this physical expression of DNA. No more need for these templates. Because I feel it's a process of coming into the great arena, starting from a very high level, working our way through all these other levels, exhausting every possibility and outcome on every level, and now going through the process of full integration of everything that I've seen, everything that I've done, and everything that I've been. And now it's time for me to leave the great arena, or to leave the labyrinth, to leave the universal matrix, whatever label you want to give it. And it's time to leave it. It's time to go back towards center, go back to my authentic, organic soul light essence, and leave the arena and leave the game, if you want to put it that way, if you want to call it that. I'm just using different labels and languaging, so a variation of languaging so people can grasp better where I'm actually coming from, because what other God entities want to do is to reactivate your strands of DNA. They want you to... they want to sell the idea of you becoming a godlike being because you've forgotten that you already are that. And they want to sell that idea. So once you reactivate your 12 strands of DNA, you'll be recycled. It keeps you down here. You're recycling back into the great arena. And I don't want to do that. I want to leave the great arena, not go back into it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, my friend. I am definitely with you on that. And, you know, I love it because it just really... fits in the paradigm of life is a paradox. You know, what we've been taught and what is so upside down, inside out, you know, twisted and convoluted. And And I appreciate you sharing that, because I think a lot of people need to hear that, because, you know, there's plenty of program people, you know, plenty of program ideas out there going, hey, activate your DNA. And it's like, not if you want to get out. So,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's the that's one of the programs that are designed to lure back people back into the great arena. And, you know, we were on the same level as the gods. They were our brothers and sisters. They still are, of course, in the realm of love, in the realm of the heart. But in when we're looking at it from the perspective of this great arena, we were there with them as the gods. We were created gods alongside them. We were together on that level of state of being. Now, we made the decision to take this journey, this road to compression, and we left them behind. That's the way they see it. So in a sense, they're feeling a sense of abandonment as well, because at the beginning they were angry and jealous of us, and they still are, more so than ever, like it's been amplified, because they're beginning to realize now what we're about to achieve. And for them, they are so self-deluded in their own self-serving light, they're just enamored with the glamour of their own self-serving light, but they cannot see really what we're doing. Some of them can't. They just think we're just losers. But others, deep down inside, they know exactly what we're about to achieve, and they are absolutely terrified that they will totally lose access to us for good. And it's freaking them out.
Mm. Well, that's interesting.
George, I was just wondering, so moving beyond the single strand into an even leaving the DNA structure is something that will happen, or is a possibility, or where you could be going, or any of us could be going? Because that's,
well,
so
that's
interesting to me.
You know, it'll be up to you where you're headed, but that's for me, my understanding of where I'm headed in my journey, and that's what I'm looking to achieve. And, because the DNA is a physical, it's a template, energetic template for physical form, a type or a flavor of, or a variety of physical expression. And, you know, it belongs to the great arena of this universe. And I'm looking to leave the great arena, which means I'm looking to leave DNA template. I don't need it anymore.
Yeah. No, it just opens up a whole nother way. Beyond that just opens up like the whole, similar to when you did a video and I, you know, started to consider what being an infinite being was, it just opened up this whole, you know, new way of feeling. And you just did that when you were speaking about, for me, I just started feeling that same feeling when you started talking about beyond the DNA structure. I was like, oh, that's, you know, because I had never thought of that. So
you sword carrier, you.
No, it's so, you know, it's
so simply true.
Right, but you can feel what that does when you start to consider that.
I agree.
You know, it just I feel the change. Like, there's something new, you know, which is further closer to letting go of this construct or this, you know, physical form, like you said, of this subservient over being, you know, I love when you said it yesterday in the interview as well with Kelly. Well, I listened to it yesterday. You know, the place where we're subservient and there's dominion over us, and you just get a feeling like, oh, there's so, you know, this is letting go. This is changing. So that was just interesting. I'd never heard that before. So thank you for that.
And, we love you, George.
You're so welcome. You are so, so welcome. And the question to ask yourself is, do I want to continue to express myself through these templates, through the template or the energetic programs and patterns that we are currently in? Am I done with that journey and that experience? That's the question to ask yourself.
Yeah. No, I feel that. I feel the asking that question is very exciting. It's like my heart started racing.
Well, actually, and that's a good segue, because I'm going to go into the next question, which actually, you know, kind of confronts with that. The way Don't mind me. Don't mind me. I'm scrambled from the sun. I wondered if you could share, you know, how at any level of, you know, your experiences, but if you could share that when we're, after we've letting go of, like for me, letting go of the three major New Age holds and spiritual holds, which are the chakras, the pineal, and the kundalini, I've noticed in myself, you know, truly, I can literally see that I don't process energy the same way in my body. You know, it doesn't stop. It, like, things that might have used to made me horny doesn't make me horny. You know, it's more of a, everything has become more sensual instead of, you know, a thought process or something made me horny or I have to see it. It's like I can see things cellularly from, it's a different sensorial sensation. And I was wondering if you could share with the audience where you can see that your behaviors and the importance of how once you let go of it, you do have to make different choices because you're now, you know, funneling the energy differently.
Yeah, we're living from a different place, a different space. We're no longer interested in engaging in those energies. Like, just like you have a friendship with somebody and you don't want to hang out with those friends because you don't want to partake in those activities anymore because of the, you know, the interest that your friends had and you had. And you've changed, so you don't want to go there and do those things anymore, whatever it may be.
Right.
So it's the same within yourself, inside of ourselves. It's exactly the same. We don't want to partake in those thought processes. We don't want to eat certain foods anymore. We don't want to just have sex from the point of view of satisfying a sexual and energetic need to feed on sexual desire. That goes as well, and like you said, Gold, it becomes a very sensual, and it becomes a very, I would say, very respectful, very honourable process or you know, experience. And it changes the dynamic. It changes you as a person, and we function differently. We start functioning from a place of authenticity and a place of, I think integrity is a good word to use here.
Oh, right on. Right on.
You know, and
yep.
A place of respect, because when you are functioning from a place of integrity, you do have respect for everyone and everything around you and the way you're having these interactions. You know, you're not a machine, so it doesn't switch and then you're doing it 100%. It's a gradual process of, you know, the percentages just swinging the other way less and less all the time as you journey, as you become more aware. And on the odd occasion, just one day you'll wake up and you go, you know what, I don't want to do that anymore. And that
right
happens
on.
Too in certain things, in certain areas. Like, I don't want to eat wheat anymore. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to have sugar anymore for me. Those things are really big deal at the moment. And whatever it may be for people. So I'm just giving those as an example.
Nice. Thank you for sharing that because, you know, I really realize how, you know, I can, like I said, my interpretation of life is changing on so many, you know, on one level, my belief systems are just getting confronted in a major kind of way, which I love because, for me, that it helps me to integrate the shadow side back in and, you know, kind of, you know, radiate back out, you know, this new me. But what I wanted people to know is that it's, you know, you should see changes, you know, because, you know, I think all it takes is the intention to not be, you know, not to be controlled by the kundalini, and you know, the funny part about it is I was never controlled by these things anyways because I've never had a kundalini activation. I mean, people are having them, you know, at all these yoga classes and, you know, chanting things I used to go to, and I used to go, that's nice, I don't know, I don't feel shit. Which, of course, now I realize was, on some level, my soul just going, it's not your journey. You know, that's not what you're going to get from this. So, So,
yeah, exactly. And we used to feel like out of place. We were made to feel that there was something wrong with us, but
absolutely.
I came to realize that the vibrational frequencies of all these other practices were not appropriate for us because we were going beyond all of that stuff. So that's the way I came to understand it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, right on. Okay, and with that being said, okay, so I don't know if you can share this. I have trouble sharing this, even though you share it just in your being. You truly do. All of us that are, you know, doing the deep integration work, I was wondering if you have any information that you can share on how presence is assisting, you know, our beautiful Mother Earth.
How can you ask me that question again? How presence
is assisting her, maybe through this whole gestation period, or maybe through labor, or if you have any insight.
Oh, okay, I get it now.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't hear the word properly. Sorry, because the line's not that clear.
Oh,
how,
no worries.
Our presence. Okay, I get it now. Yeah, it's a huge factor. It's everything, really, because when you're present, you're authentic. Your being you means you're functioning from your soul essence. And that's the part of you that's one with the heart of Mother Earth and the heart of Father Sun and the heart of the galactic mother and the heart of the galaxy. And it's the part of you that's in the heart of everybody around you and everything around you. It's the gateway to the oneness of everything, the true oneness of everything. So, to me, being present is of utmost importance. And there's times I phase out. You know, holding that presence is not so easy. But I found also it's okay when you're not present, when you want to just zone out for a while and like, sit down and watch a video and just numb yourself with some matrix energies for a little while. I found that be really therapeutic. Just to every now and then just get a just zombie in the matrix for a bit, because it keeps
right
you
on.
Grounded and connected in the matrix. It brings about more balance, but you find yourself doing it less often. That's the other thing. So it's kind of like it's almost like going cold turkey, but not going cold turkey. It's like weaning yourself off instead of going cold turkey, if you know what I mean. Because if you go cold turkey, you won't be able to function in the matrix. It's too hard. Well, I found it too hard. Some people might be able to achieve it, but for me, I just found it. The energy's just, you know, for me, it's been a progressive thing where I can now go into a city, because where I live is quite remote, and, you know, we don't have any neighbours anywhere near us for quite a few miles. So for me, when I go into a city, for example, when we drive down into Adelaide, and that's a city of about, you know, over a million people, it really freaks us out. It used to freak us out, sorry. Now, it's like I'm holding my presence, and I'm not even making the effort to hold my presence and my center. I'm finding I'm just being presence, and it's not an effort anymore. And when we come out and come home, we're nowhere near as tired and worn out as we used to be. We're quite still holding our energies really well. It's almost like we have this energy that we're around us because we're emanating it, and we're no longer being affected. All those portals of manipulation seem to be gone in that respect. You know, we're finding that the most the area of manipulation we're experiencing the most is the mind still, because we don't have our chakras anymore, so all those portals of manipulation are gone, and the only thing left now is the mental arena. So that area is still quite active with interference and what have you, but we're navigating our way through that landscape. We're traversing that landscape, and we're beginning to understand the machinations of the way these really sophisticated mental patterns happen. So it's really quite amazing. We pull them up quite quickly now, and we speak to them, you know, when we get an induced thought. we'll confront the entities behind that energy, behind that thought. And we have a few things to say to them. Sometimes
right.
we're in gratitude for their service. Other times we let them know how cowardly and pathetic and small and fearful and insecure they are. So it depends on the experience, I suppose, as to how we deal with the situation.
Nice. That was beautifully shared, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah, very
Thank
helpful.
You.
Very
yeah.
helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. You're rocking it, George. I knew you would. I have all the confidence in you. I just got to come up with the questions. I know you're going to beautifully share the wisdom.
I'll do my best.
You do awesome. You are such a gift to so many. Here's a question that I've been pondering about. A little background. We did the round table, right? And we spoke about the importance of integrating our shadow aspects. So my question to you is, do all aspects, like, do I go into the fifth dimension because the first, second, third, and fourth, all the aspects that have, for whatever reason, you know, were separated from me, they all have to come back together into this one, the body that I'm choosing to do the ascension with is this one. So would I have to have all the pieces of 1 through 4 back in wholeness in order to ascend?
Well, think of the ascension like this. It's not somewhere else. We're going within ourselves, but we're opening up the portals to bring more of us here.
Okay.
So your human vessel and your energy within you is the location, okay, of the convergence of all your dimensional levels and expressions of you as a being in this universe.
Okay.
So it's about
ascension.
It's about coming. Think of ascension of a way of becoming. You're in the process of becoming. And what you are becoming is universal consciousness in its totality here on this planet. And it'll go beyond. But for now, it's about anchoring all of you and bringing all of you and merging all of you and integrating all of you here. Because it's a symbiotic thing. Because the more we do that, then the more we raise the vibration of this reality, and then the more we're working in conjunction with Mother Earth and the Sun and whatever the universal intention is of this reality. So it's a symbiotic thing. The more there's a bit of lag and leeway either side. Some people are ahead of the process, some people behind the process, but overall we're all moving as is, you know, it's like we're all on this planet and we're hurtling through space, you know, at a ridiculous speed, really. And our solar system is hurtling through space at millions of miles an hour, right? So that's what we're doing, but we're all in this together, and we're inside the process. So there's a bit of leeway and lag either way, like I said, but overall the trajectory, the momentum of the way the reality's heading, the momentum of the way we are heading, in synchronicity, in a symbiotic nature with this reality, is that's where we're heading towards, is anchoring all and bringing all of ourselves of who and what we are here into this reality. Because this is about fractals, right? This reality is a fractal of the universe. Your body is a fractal of the universe. And therefore now your consciousness is a fractal of the universe, and you're going to express that here. Universal consciousness in a fractal expression in one planetary arena.
Okay, can you expand, because that was actually one of my questions too. Can you help me understand this fractal? I'm not quite sure how this works, meaning cosmically down to the human experience. Like me and Janine have had conversations, and you know, it's my belief that if and I've gotten this, you know, by listening to your work, that if I transcend a situation where, you know, I forgive somebody, that there could be a whole race of beings that are within my planet, that that frequency then became in that race of beings, that there could be, you know, a peaceful experience on the planet, on my fractal planet. Is that correct?
Well, you, well, it depends on your understanding of what a fractal is. A fractal is a smaller version of something else.
Okay.
But it's okay. It's a smaller. That's the easiest way to explain it. It's a smaller version. How would I say? Almost replicated, pretty much replicated, but a smaller version of it. And
okay.
If you've got a connection to a planetary system out there, then whatever you experience here is going to go to this system, and they're going to look at the codes of your experience, the energetic codes of your experience, because you have connections, you have energetic connections to that planetary reality, and you're feeding, sending the information of your experiences to them. And they look at those codes, the elders especially, or people who understand what's, you know, who are assigned to understand the earthly experience more than others. And then they will be able to decode what's going on and then share that information with the people. And they'll have, depending on the race, they'll have their own processes of sharing, their own, you know, ways of going about it. But it'll be available for people because they will now know that the whole entire race has an issue, and you've got that issue. You're an ambassador for that race and those issues that they've got. And then when you resolve your issue here, they then get the understanding of how to resolve their issues as a race entirely. So they can then start heading their people towards those new codes, away from the old codes of expression to the new codes of expression. And through that journey of traversing, you know, taking that journey from one code of expression to another code of expression, they, as a race, learn the wisdom and the experiences as well.
So much for just being a little speck of, you know how people, you hear people say, oh, we're just a little speck of, you know, nothing, you know, in the vastness of everything. It's like, you know, that really is
crap. What a load of crap.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes, that is a bunch of crap. thank you. So, well, kind of coming back to the fractal, though, can you share, you know, and you and Kelly really did share this beautifully. Me and Janine were saying on the show last night, we were directing people, you know, that they should definitely listen to the podcast with Kelly Lachey. But so the sun, it's like the sun has so much to do, you know, we're actually in the sun. This was my vision. I'm in the sun because that's how we come through. We come through the sun, and then we come through into the core of the earth, which is a sun with a crust around it, into my human space, which has, like at this point in time, I feel I already have my, like there's a light inside of me.
Already
here now.
Yeah, you have your eternal core star as well. You have your core star essence, which is inside of you.
Okay. Yeah, I can feel that. And I mean, I'm actually starting to see, do you experience yourself getting lighter? Like, I'm seeing, like, instead of dark circles under my eyes, it's becoming light. It's becoming very white under my eyes.
Yeah, I feel myself becoming a bit lighter. I'm also doing activities to keep myself grounded. So, you know. You know, I'm going for walks and, you know, do some workouts every now and then. And I try to keep myself grounded because I'm a real space cadet, as you know, and I need a lot of grounding. So I need some.
Oh, I honor that.
Balance things. So, but what I did experience inside of myself was inner light, which is even deeper than my core star essence. And Cynthia did too. And other people have too. And have had this experience, and we've experienced ourselves a light which is the shape of a 360 degree vesica Pisces.
Wow.
I missed that. What, that, 360 degree what?
That's like a Pisces, a 360 degree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we call, the label I could use for that is our eternal flame.
Wow.
So that's what we experience inside of ourselves, which is,
yeah, no, right,
it's
on.
What manifests core star essence in the being. It's like I experienced myself as this light, and I was in a void, like everything around me was just like this void. And from there is my origins of expression. And everything that I am emanates from that flame, light, if you want to call it that, whatever label you want to use. And everything I am in this universe emanates from that, if that makes sense.
Totally, totally. So that actually brings me to another question. Have you heard, and you might have shared this, I'm not sure, The core of Earth used to be a sphere, and now it's a dodecahedron. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard that. I know the sphere is the perfect expression of form.
Okay.
To when it comes to the great arena, within the great,
okay,
within the great arena. The sphere is a perfect expression of form. So, I don't... What I will say is the energetic template inside the Earth will definitely be a dodecahedron, because that's the template for spirit.
Okay.
And so because if there's a more expression of spirit, people might be seeing the template, the platonic solid for spirit. They might be saying that, but I don't know. Maybe it has. I don't know, so I can't comment
okay.
any further.
Okay. Yeah, no, I honor that. I honor that. Well, I didn't think I'd ever stumped you, though. I honor that, though. This is the human George here. I love you, baby. It's all good. It's all good.
It's funny.
Okay, polarity is clearly part of, you know, this whole process right now. And, I mean, you know, I know all three of us and many of the listeners are really experiencing the height and the intensity of polarity. I was wondering if you could maybe share anything on, like, what me and Janine are usually sharing on the show is, you know, we live in a paradox. And so the irony is, you know, the harder and more intense, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, the harder and more intense, you know, the clearing work. And it's not that it's harder, but when I say I'm clearing, I mean almost on a weekly basis, a belief system's coming up, I've got to deal with it, I know it's an old program, you know, so I go through what I call breakdown, you know, sit with it in order to get to breakthrough. And I was wondering if you could share, you know, your insights on, you know, the, because for me, I'm figuring if we're going to a zero point, you know, compression's going to get worse, but that means we're getting closer to the birthing process. Not, you know, in other words, life's going to get kind of worse before it pops into, you know, as Kelly said, you know, the greatest incarnation we ever had.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. If you could just share... you know, your wisdom or your insights on that?
On processing?
Well, on the idea that things might look worse before they get better.
Oh, that idea. Oh, for sure. Of course they are.
Yeah.
Of course they are, because look around you. It's all the old programs still wanting to survive. They're all hanging on for everything they're worth. And so, you know what it's like, Goldie, the deeper you go into something, you know, when you got to come out of it, it hurts, doesn't
right.
it?
Right.
Right. So it's like that for all of us, for anybody. So, you know, the letting go is such a big deal, of letting go, non-attachment. Oh, my goodness. What is surprising to me is just how many attachments we still have. All the attachments
right.
I still have. My goodness. You know, I've had to it's like I'm going through the process again for me, because I was really detached. Like, I was a space cadet big time. And then, you know, the lead up to meeting Cynthia, and I was really far removed from society. I was out there, you know, and I didn't have a computer or a credit card or a mobile phone, and I was just living the most simplistic life I could. And when I met Cynthia, I knew it was coming. I knew that I had to come back into the matrix to do what I had to do. And that was a very painful process on one level. It's still painful. I'm still learning how to go back into the matrix in certain areas to do with, you know, artificial intelligence, computers,
wow,
and what have you, and stuff. So I've had to relearn or go once again through the process of non-attachment, because in the process of me coming back into the matrix to do what I've got to do, to do my great work and my fundamental purpose in life, I reattached to a lot of things. And so now I'm once again going through another cycle since, towards the end of last year and what have you. Cynthia and I are going through another cycle now of non-attachment. So I'm going through the process again.
Wow.
And it includes not just the material world, but also the programs, my mental programs, because I've had to activate and re-engage some of my old programs because I was back into the arena. And you got to know how to navigate your way through this arena. Because I didn't have a great deal of wisdom and experience in being, more evolved than what I was, and being able to navigate my way through this matrix, through the labyrinth, I needed to go back into some of my old habits in order to be able to function in the matrix again. And I've had to relearn how to actually reconcile my detached, sort of high-vibrating, wise self and anchor that down into the matrix, reconcile the two, because I went back into some of my old habits as Earthly George personality, and now I've had to bridge the two together, reconcile the two together, because I'm going back into the belly of the matrix, so to speak, in the belly,
yeah,
of the beast, so I can change things from the inside out. So I need to anchor more of me in, while I've gone back into the matrix now, I need to bring more of me here down in the matrix now and keep anchoring it more and more and more and more, and being more of a pain in the ass for those who want to control the matrix, and being more of a thorn in the side of those who want to control the matrix. And I'm just continuing to do that more and more all the time. So that is a really, really difficult process for me. And so once we, you know, there's a lot of people who think that, you know, the old idea of ascension is we've got to go somewhere else. And,
right,
you know, I've been trying to teach people over a long period of time, that's not really it. You know, I've gone about it in different ways, in different methods. I'm now speaking from the perspective of the greater me. And not from just George, the earthly personality, okay? I'm speaking from Big George, you could say. And what I needed to do was reconcile my greater wisdom so I can function with that greater wisdom in the matrix and not just from the point of view of an earthly personality or earthly level ego or a matrix level ego. So that has been the great challenge, because it's really easy to walk away from it, you know, to try and detach from it all and spend most of your time meditating and doing things like that. You know, that's quite easy. Anyone can do that, really.
Right.
But try coming back in. That's the challenge, I say to these people.
Yeah.
You know, depending how you see your journey, if you feel like you're here to participate and play a role, then try coming back in and bringing those higher energies in and anchoring them in. That's the challenge. Now, that's a real challenge. If you thought just detaching and leaving those old programs before was easy, it was easy. It was that, even though as hard and as challenging as that was the easy part. But to continue to function in the matrix and anchor your higher energies in there, in the matrix, in here, that's the real challenge. And that's what's needed.
George, you are brilliant.
Yeah.
You are. And listen, on behalf of humanity, thank you.
Yeah,
well,
and
you.
That's kind of what you were saying, and Kelly was saying in the podcast about it, where what I got was, and that makes so much sense what you just said now, and tell me if you think this is what you meant, that it's kind of like bringing the fifth dimensional self in here, and it's not going somewhere. It's bringing it in here and functioning within the matrix as that fifth dimensional self, or as you put, higher energies. I mean, that is a great challenge, but I get what you're saying.
So do I.
My
is that right?
Personality of, yeah, exactly, because my earthly personality of George wanted out of here. I was just like everybody else. We want peace, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
That's a really helpful explanation.
Janine, did I not just say to you, remember like last week, or no, this a couple of days ago? I've been out for a while, and I totally got that I got to come back in. And
but you come back in differently. You come back in.
Yeah,
which
but
really
it's
is,
scary to come back in.
it's an exhilarating challenge, but it is a challenge, and it's at times, you know, you're like, oh, but I really get what you're saying, and that was such a great explanation.
Yeah. Yeah, you rock, George. You really do. I can almost say the way you were, when I was listening to you with Kelly Lachey, you're doing for me what Kelly was doing with you. I'm just resonating with everything you're saying. I mean, everything.
Oh, Kelly zapped me. Don't you worry about that. She was magnificent, man.
Yeah.
I was bubbling.
So are you.
She's good and proper.
Yeah, that was awesome, because that, you know, the truth is, if you go, if it's the organic timeline that you're on, you know, you're not going anywhere. You got to come back, and you know, and there's still, you know, 7-8 billion people that are potentially still here, you know, that are here, but potentially here to join in the organic experience.
Well, you know, it brings up another really big issue, and I haven't talked about this publicly, but I've been processing it for a while. And there's a lot of people that see themselves as observers. You know, they go, oh, I'm just an observer. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression, people say that to you.
They do. On the show Fringe, they actually have a character called the Observers. I'm very familiar with what you're saying, yes.
Okay, well, maybe some people are. But I reckon there's a lot of people that are using that as an excuse not to engage.
Agreed. I agree.
I reckon it's a cop-out.
And meet the challenge.
I feel in people, because sometimes I go, I can see inside people, like, you know, as you do. And sometimes it's like, you've got a fundamental purpose. You've got an obligation to humanity, but you're just copping out for now. To say that you're an observer is actually a fear-based concept. Because people are too fearful to actually turn around, come back into the matrix and actually engage and fulfill their responsibilities and obligations to humanity. Now, I'm not just trying to go, woo, all aboard the guilt train, you know. I'm not trying to throw that at it.
I know you're not. No. Speak it, babe. Speak it, because I'm with you. I'm with you.
You know, I'm just trying to be realistic. Like, people are going to ask themselves, if you all keep saying to everybody, oh, I'm just an observer, you know, why do you say that? Why do you keep saying that? You know, really ask yourself, because you're going to realize that you're just fearful of this reality. You're too scared. And it's real shame. It's sad. And they've got to realize that about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's partially why, you know, what me and Janine do is we try to show, you know, truly the brighter side of the integrative process, you know. It is painful, but boy, those breakthroughs are just extraordinary. I mean, they're extraordinary moments within your own existence of, the way I describe it is, a piece of self coming back home and, you know, literally not being outside looking in anymore, but being inside. And, you know, when we reach a fulfillment and a wholeness in that moment of integration, you know, that as far as better than sex, drugs, or rock and roll. You know, it's some good stuff. But you got to have the courage to do it.
You do, Goldie. Oh, wow. You are just so onto it. It's amazing.
Thank you. Well, I mean,
wow.
You know, it really is organic, right? Because it's, you know, that's another thing that I would love for you to share, because so many people seem to be looking for the bells and the whistles of, you know, that, you know, I guess, it's, you know, it's all the kundalini and the, oh, my third eye opened and, you know, this whole vision
yeah.
came in and I'm, you know, it's like Mother Nature is so much more subtle. I mean, she just doesn't scream it from the rooftops.
You know, because I'm, if I could just put a quick plug in, I'm writing a course at the moment. And,
oh, please, of course.
Yeah, and I talk about that in the course, actually. It's a big section in the course because it's, I call it the buzz factor. You see, what we're experiencing is sensory overload in the matrix. That's what the matrix is about, because it's about distracting you from you. So what everyone's experiencing is sensory overload. And so when someone has a experience of love with somebody else, you know, we're told in the movies, for example, what love is. We're told through movies. We're told through advertisements what love is. We're programmed through music what love is. We're being told what love is, but we already know what love is deep down inside. So we've got all these layers of programming of telling us what love is, and that love is meant to be something, you know, fireworks and spectacular and sensory overload and, you know, and the buzz factor. Oh, the bliss factor. Oh, bliss. Well, there's a drug in itself, the bliss factor.
Yeah.
That's cosmic candy, really. So what's happening is, if someone's going to have a spiritual experience, then they're programmed to expect that the spiritual experience is going to be so powerful it has to override the already sensory overload. It's going to be even greater than that. And that's how they're extracting people's awareness from the simplicity and the subtleties of life and love.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
That's really deep, my friend. That's really deep. I'm just curious, will this course be available online as well or just in person?
No, it'll be available online, and we're trying to organize some retreats as well. So eventually we'll get to all of that. Yeah, very exciting stuff.
Okay.
It's groundbreaking. Like, it's groundbreaking material in the course. Like, seriously,
right.
Groundbreaking.
Right.
We're riding
the
rest of the wave. The book is, I know I'm talking it up a bit, but I don't feel I am, really. I don't feel that I'm talking it up, because the book is in itself at the forefront of everything that we've you know, had access to. Maybe
Absolutely.
Behind the scenes there's groups that have some sort of disinformation, but, you know, a lot of people don't like me at the moment because I'm busting open their paradigms of chakras and kundalini and pineal glands, and there's a lot of upset people out there at the moment because it's their religion, it's their belief system, and they don't like it being exposed. And it's an unfortunate reality. And the course is taking it a step further. There's new material in it, and we are going to do some groundbreaking activities. And I tell you what, it's about being sovereign. That's what the core message in the course is providing tools to help people become a sovereign being and wisdom and tools to achieve that. So we're very excited about this. I think it's going to be, both Cynthia and I feel it's going to be really, really helpful for people, because I provided the information in the book, and now we need to provide tools to help people reconcile this sort of non-new level of awareness as well.
Yeah, of course.
There's some basic tools and procedures that we can do to help achieve that. So we're very excited.
Well, George, I got to share with you what I share with Janine. No, think. You know this is groundbreaking stuff. You don't think that this is groundbreaking. We know it is. You know it is.
Yeah.
And you are definitely amongst family and friends here. You know this is groundbreaking stuff. No thinking. We know.
Yeah,
it's really helpful.
Oh, it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. And I did see, you know, I caught some of the tail end stuff going on in the forum. I was delighted to have you on the show. I understand, you know, when people get pushed, you know, and like you say, cracked. I mean, they're literally being cracked open, and don't we know? We've been cracked open. You don't get to the wisdom without being cracked open. It's like that's the whole point that I try to tell people, you know. Like if the shit's hitting the fan in every area, you know, relationships, career, you know, life and death stuff, I promise you it's your soul doing it, because, you know, there's an orchestration to this that we, you know, you kind of got to get cracked open in order to start seeing clearly and get yourself right back, you know, right side up and, you know, out of the mirror reflection, and because, you know, there really is... You know, it's so interesting how people, like somebody posted on Facebook the other day, Victoria's Secret models, a campaign going Know Your Body, and then Dove Soap had a campaign of Know Your Body using clearly more realistic shaped women. And I swear to God, the first thing I thought when I looked at the Victoria's Secrets was, and I posted this on my wall, I go, well, clearly there are aliens in the marketing business. They look like aliens. You know, they're tall, skinny, you know, elongated beings. They just, instead of being white, you know, they're black, white, and tan. You know, but they clearly, because I see it all over the place. I see the agenda everywhere, and yet they don't see it. You know, the majority of the people where I live, you know, I live in a very affluent area. They don't see it, and, you know, I'm very supportive, I'm very compassionate, you know, that the pain goes on. You have never pushed my buttons wrong, though, ever. I mean, your stuff feels, it's just such, it's like a warm blanket, because I'm going through it anyways, and that's what I keep telling people. If you're going through this stuff, you know, the key is stop trying to fit yourself into a square world. Become round. You know, if you are a round peg, become round. And, you know, let go of the, you know, what you think is success and what you think you're supposed to do because your culture says you're supposed to. Be authentic. You know, live life from whatever perspective it is that's calling to you. Because, you know, most of the people that are being cracked open, you know, they get so... You know, they're punchy, and I know this truly, because when I get cracked open, I'm punchy. I'm just smart enough to know you don't shoot the messenger. You know, go sit quietly and do the integration. You know, that's the integrative work. You know, to let that pain come back home. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what I'm going to do now is, because we're just about at the top. Well, we're actually past the top of the hour. I want to make sure I ask the audience to send in questions, and I want to respect them so they don't go, Goldie, you asked us for questions, and then you didn't ask him. So we are now going to, you know, and I'll go back to my questions if we still have time. I just want to make sure we go through, you know, these guys. Okay, so two people asked about this. It's funny because I asked Janine about this before you came on the phone. I've never even heard of this, but... the OPT movement, O-P-P-T movement, people are wanting to know if it's a diversion taking us out of focusing on the ascension with Mother Earth, and if so, how can we, who are seriously struggling to make ends meet in the third dimension system, get through it all? And I don't even know if you're familiar with this, you know, because, well, I won't say what me and Ginny joked about, privately maybe, but are you familiar with this OPT movement?
I've never heard of it. What is it?
You know what me and Janine goes, you know, do people think that, you know, you're omnipotent?
Because
no, Janine goes, why don't they just ask them how much, you know, how much are the peaches, you know, down the street at the, like, you know, I was like, why would George know about the OPT movement?
Yeah, I thought it was a question. It was like, why?
Look,
anyway.
I get asked all the time through emails. People say, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think of that? You know, 90% of them, I haven't heard of them. I don't know what they're talking about. And the other... No, honestly, I'm just being honest and forthright.
No,
please. And the rest of the time, it's not my place to do that. If they're asking me the question and they have doubts, you know, they've got to... if people are asking for someone else's opinion, then already there's doubt there. And if they can just feel into themselves and explore the doubt that they're experiencing, then they'll find the answers.
Right on. Beautifully shared. And that really is the answer. I mean, that is the answer. Okay, here's another one. I'm a little obsessed with Carl Jung at the moment and have the following question. Jung suggested that humanity shares a common unconscious, and since as above, so below, we might also share a common higher self or super consciousness, which is like a consciousness field that we can draw from and express through our individual filters, kind of like the unlimited internet, basically. Could George clarify how he feels about our individual sovereign beingness in this context, and how does humanity's oneness function in practice? This was by Patricia.
Yeah, sure. The I often connect with that. The wording and the label I use is the collective human soul. So when you look at trees, for example, you look at lions or the feline races or the bird races, or you look at, you know, there's groupings that take place, and then from the groupings it goes down to individual species. So you could say that all the aquatic beings on the planet have a collective soul, group soul consciousness. And then it branches down to there, to smaller group soul consciousnesses. So humanity as a whole has a group soul consciousness. And when I talk in relation to exopolitics, a commentary that I make is, you know, when the Federation of Free Worlds and that had their meetings and their deliberations on sending extraterrestrial races here, is, was the group soul consciousness of humanity present and attending that meeting? And was the soul consciousness of Mother Earth present and attending those meetings? Because they're making decisions on you know, on our behalf. Like the decisions they make and the policies they implement, you know, we're talking exopolitics now, the policies they implement is going to affect humanity, is going to affect the Earth. But what about the relationship between the group soul consciousness of humanity and the consciousness of the planet? And what is the intention of the group soul consciousness of humanity? Where is it heading? What is its intentions for existing in the first place? What is it? Why is it having this relationship with our mother planet, with this planet? Why is this relationship occurring? Why? What is the intention of it? And why did we all want to be a part of that? So for us to be incarnated here, first on a soul level, we would have had to have made an agreement with the human soul, group soul consciousness, in order to be a part of this. So yes, there is a group soul consciousness occurring. Yes, I try to tune into that as often as I can. That's how I've gotten my understanding of who we all are and what we're all doing here, is because of the group soul consciousness. It's to understand humanity as a whole and who we are. What is humanity and what's it doing here, and why is it in the solar system and why is it on this planet? So when you look at it from that point of view, it's really, you know, this is where you really start to get some serious answers.
Well, and my next question is clear. Do you know those answers? I mean, why is humanity here? Pardon? Yeah, did you say read the book?
I've written a book about it.
Okay, right on. Okay, I guess I was talking to humanity. I'm sorry, I got all caught up in what you were sharing.
You know, that's the whole point of why I wrote the book, was to help people understand who we all, you know, the four primordial questions, as I explained them in the book, was, you know, I don't expect you to remember everything that I've written. Believe me, I'm not coming from that arrogant point of view.
I know you're not.
It's just I want to make a joke of it, and, you know, you know, the reason why we're here is to achieve our intended outcome. We want it to become this fractal of the universe, to reintegrate everything so we can complete our journey and become what we've intended to become from the outset. So entering into the group soul consciousness of humanity is a part of that. It's entering into, incarnating into a vessel, a bodily vessel, which is a fractal of the universe. So the group soul consciousness is in fact, in itself, the collective human group soul consciousness is, in fact, in itself, a fractal of universal consciousness.
Right.
In becoming. It's becoming.
Right. So is everybody becoming? I mean, like, meaning everybody's journeying forward, just different destinations, correct?
Yeah. The odd person might be going backwards. The odd person here might be going backwards in their journey. Well, it's always forward momentum from the perspective of the universe. But from the perspective of inside drama of the arena, some people are on their way down.
Right, right, right. Because that's the timing you speak of, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we didn't all enter, you know, it's like you walk down a path in the woods. You don't all walk side by side holding hands or walking the path at the same time. You know,
right,
some people walk down before up. It's like we did not enter the universe all at the same time. We've all come in at different times. And there are those of us who came in at the beginning. And that's who we are. We're the way showers. And so we're showing the way for others. And that's a bit of a tough sort of role to be playing, but that's who we are.
Right on. Right on. Thank you. That was right on. Okay, this is from Sylvain. I was wondering if we could ask him about what the real difference is between masculine and feminine. Also, I'd like to know what George's opinion is on androgyny in terms of including and transcending the masculine and feminine.
Yeah, good questions. The masculine and feminine energies are two varying expressions of the universal creator. And we experience them in a very compressed and intense way here, and we see ourselves as man and woman, or masculine and feminine. Well, there's a physical expression of that, but inside of us is also the masculine and feminine energies in a much more expanded fashion, of course, because it's not, just contained within the physical realm. So we are in the process of transcending that. In our core, we are neither man or woman. The sun ultimately is neither male or female. I call it Father Son because in this recent era of time, it expresses itself in the masculine. You know, at some stage, it would have expressed itself in the feminine as well when it needed to. But at the moment, it's a masculine expression, has been for a long time. So when we look at our soul light, for example, it has been, it's androgynous. But don't get it mixed up with androgynous races. There are races out there who physically are androgynous. But, I've met with them. I've had incarnations, in these races. And what happens is, within these races, the race gets divided up into roles of entities that express themselves more in masculine flavor and more in the feminine flavor. So we just have the more, the most intense expression of feminine and masculine energies in the universe going on is here on Earth. It's the most intense. And that's why also with our physicality, there is quite a distinction going on between the two, even though the lines can get blurred, but that's because people are exploring that that path of blurring the lines between masculine and feminine expression. But ultimately, where we're headed to, it all just blends into just one expression of the being.
Right, because doesn't it also have to do where it's a polarized experience, so it would have to separate, right?
Oh, it's exactly part of light. It's expression of light. Light is waveform, so it's a dualistic expression. So it's a part of the expression or the construct of the universe. So it's an integral part of the universal creator expressing itself one way and then expressing itself and then another way, which is a counterpart. You know, it's about a counterpart, isn't it?
Right.
When you look
at
mythology, you look at different counterparts of the masculine and the feminine, or the gods of the ancient past.
Right. Yeah, huh. And those are actually one being. I mean, if you go up further enough, into or expand out, I shouldn't even say go up. If you expand it out, like ultimately, aren't you and Cynthia one being?
One being. We say it all the time. One heart, one love, one being. We say it
right
to each
on.
Other often.
Right
yeah.
on. I can feel that. Yeah, right on. And that, that's That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Okay, this next question is kind of referencing, it's four parts of the question, but I'm just going to ask the last part because, hey, it's my show, I can do that. I don't know who sent this question, they didn't leave a name, but why were some major incarnations of Mother Earth, what were some major incarnations of Mother Earth and Father Sun? I was thinking Pythagoras, Cleopatra, Nostradamus, or Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, I reckon Leonardo da Vinci may have been one. I can say for me, I reckon the Mary Magdalene was a given for me as Mother Earth and the Christ.
Okay.
Not Jesus, but the real Christ. And Mary Magdalene, for me, were the walking expressions of that consciousness directly on Earth. They've come throughout time. I feel Apollo was one. I feel Osiris and Isis were one. I think the whole religious ideology around these names has been totally they've totally tarnished the originality of these beings and who and what they originally were. Akhenaten and Nefertiti, to me, the couple, because for me, a lot of people look negatively upon Akhenaten. I don't think he was what people say he was. I feel that he was more of a liberator. He took on the priestly caste, and he, for me, he's an inspiration. And I think that's why his name has been so tarnished, because that's the habitual nature of the priestly caste. Anyone who exposes them, down the track, they want these people to be known as nefarious characters through time and history.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I look very carefully upon those. I go with energy and what the core message is, not the core message of what the priestly caste tell people these people said, but I just look, mm-hmm. I'll look at the hierarchy, and I'll just look at what I feel when I look at those hieroglyphs. And when I look at Akhenaten, when he gets the sun and the hands reaching out of the sun and sharing with people, going, look, hello.
Wake up.
It's what his message was about, and that he wanted. And to me, the history, the timeline history is not accurate either. I feel that Akhenaten Nefertiti was more a galactic level of embodiment. Think of it as galactic ET incarnational levels of the masculine and the feminine of the universe. So like they can come here and have an incarnation, they can also have an incarnation incarnations on a galactic level or a cosmic level as an extraterrestrial race. So like you as a star incarnate onto your planetary systems and help guide the people as well. Same principle. And also, they do it to experience it from within the creation, no better than anybody else. So it's about that as well.
Right.
To be one with the people on, like I wrote in the book, one with the people, on the level with the people, stripped of everything just like the people, and just to be one with the people, no better. And to experience, because this is what we do as stars, we will go and have an incarnation on one of our planetary systems and be one with the people and just totally be on the same level as them. And sometimes we'll have obscure incarnations where no one knows who we are. And we can be tortured and whatever, just like other people in our own star system are being tortured, because we need to experience that which we have created.
Right on. Right on. If we have time, Janine, remind me to ask him. If we have time after these questions, I want to ask you something. As long as you're on that, though, another part of this person's question was, could you please tell us what is the meaning of Mott and Anubis?
Yeah, I'm not really that familiar with all the Egyptian religious characters and what the deep meanings of each one of them are, but for me, Mart seems to be more, for me, it's the galactic mother consciousness.
Okay.
And Anubis, haven't figured that one out yet. Haven't spent time on it. Anubis is an interesting character, though. I get a funny feeling from Anubis. It's kind of like this cheekiness there and a bit of a feel into his energy. I feel that Anubis is involved in the energy of Anubis is the consciousness of not Achnat, but another incarnational aspect of the Creator. That's what I've who played a slightly more imperial role, was more of in charge of an empire, and had more of a nature about things. That is, to me, how I experience the energies of it. Now, that means I could be completely wrong about what I just said, but that's me. And if you ask me, the Sphinx is actually Anubis. That's what I read. Because it also has...
A symbolism or actually a DNA kind of thing?
Well, no, the Sphinx, if you look at it, it's not actually a body, it's a dog. It's... You look at the back. The actual Sphinx is like feline energy. It's a canine energy.
Oh, duh! I'm sorry. I'm thinking the pyramid, not the Sphinx. Sorry. I was going... The back. I'm like, how do you know which back on a pyramid? Duh, you said the Sphinx. I'm sorry.
Body.
Right, okay. Right on. Okay.
I've had dogs. I'm trying to catch dogs. You notice their body shape. They sit. A tail comes around the side. Legs. The back. For me...
Janine, are you having trouble hearing him?
A little bit. A little bit. Just kind of in and out a little.
Yeah, you're fading a little bit, George.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you're on a cordless, if you walked away or you went outside or...
I haven't done anything like that. Yes.
Okay, and you got to hear... You know what I was just thinking? Oh, wow, the whole process of this interview is going smoothly. I swear to God. I was thinking that in my head. I swear to God. I mean, no, excuse me. I swear to goodness. Okay. Then there's not much we can do about it. Then that's all good.
Did you hear me now?
I could always hear you. You just were. It sounded like you were in some kind of wind or something. Like your voice was fading in and out.
Oh, there's no background noise here. The room on it, but there's noise that I can hear.
Yeah, no, it's still happening. Are you still hearing it, Janine?
Yeah, I am. It's like, little pieces of the words are kind of fading out.
Yeah. The thing that's coming up for me, is that okay? Because we still have 37 minutes, so we still got a good chunk of time left.
Yeah, I'll just call back. I don't mind.
Okay. Okay, thanks, George.
Alrighty.
I swear to God, Janine, I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, we don't have nothing, you know. I've heard the other interviews that, you know, there's all this interference and stuff.
Yeah, because of the distance.
Oh, we don't have any of that.
Because of the distance in Australia?
I don't know what it's from.
Yeah.
It could be from Anubis. Maybe he doesn't like us talking about him.
I was enjoying that, but I was missing some of it. You know?
I was too, and George is too important to miss, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So great interview, though, right? He's... This is...
Yeah, really, I love that part where you leave the Matrix, but coming back in is important and coming back...
Oh, yeah, classic. Yeah, that is such good information.
Yeah, coming back in is like your fifth-dimensional self is...
George?
Yeah.
Oh, much better. There you are. Much nice, strong signal again. Right on. Okay, good.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, and I won't have those thoughts no more. And I don't know if you were done speaking of the Anubis, and if you have more to continue, we're open.
Well, I feel that the Sphinx is is a dog, let's say, put it this way, it's not a cat energy. I think there's a lot of feline races out there who like to claim a lot of things for themselves. And no, there's really benevolent feline races, don't get me wrong, but there's a group of feline races that are actually, because we've experienced them ourselves personally, we've had one manifest in our house here, who are actually the overlords of the reptilians. And if you look at the flags of royalty and at the base of the stairs of some of the temples, you'll see these quite aggressive or gnarly-looking lion sort of beings in a lot of the symbolism and the emblems of a lot of the ruling class structures on our planet. So there's a lot of that. It's just helping people to put the pieces of the puzzle together. I'll probably much leave it there, I'd say.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And yeah, right on. Okay. Last question from the audience is, hello, George. You said you were around at the time of the real Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Could you tell us what their real life, job, how many children, and what was the role of the real Mary Magdalena? Where, how did they die, and how old were they when they died? Well, this is, okay, and, well, sorry, I should have read this before. And why is their tomb in France?
Yeah, I don't have all those answers.
Okay.
I remember being around at that time. I remember seeing him as a really skinny little guy with a pointy nose. I haven't got really solid, you know, like long-term memories. It's more like snippets. And for me, it's more the roles that they played was... I feel Mary Magdalene was far more the main character at the time than the Christ. That's what I feel. And when she stepped into her power, it just totally demolished the priestly caste. He did a lot of work too, but when I remember Mary Magdalene being the by far the main character in the whole thing. And she was, for me, there was a group of about 26 of them altogether. That's what I remember.
Okay.
There was 26, and that hung out together, and they were the ones that went around doing most of the work. Now, whatever labels you want to use for those people, that'll be your own interpretation. But these are the people that gathered together because each of the others were the embodiments of each of the planets in the solar system.
Nice.
And each one was an embodiment of a DNA strand. So each person was an embodiment of an archetypal personality of the Creator.
Okay.
And so it's all about fractalization of expressions on the planet at the time. And it was just correcting the course of the planet. It was about... the main message was about how the energies were going to, the energies of the Creator were going to retract and allow this reality to fall. That's the main message of the time. That's the message that people are not being told as to what really happened back there. They came here to share this message with humanity and to let people know where the reality was heading, because it wasn't a pleasant experience that was coming. And people are still suffering the post-trauma from that era, and the post-trauma from, you know, a lot of eras, but when that sort of information was disseminated around the planet, it was very, very disturbing for a lot of people. But this reality needed to plunge into the ages. We needed to bottom out. And that's why that message was shared back then. But there was a lot of good that happened back then too. It wasn't just about doom and gloom. It wasn't about that.
Right.
And so the... because people will take this all sorts of different ways depending on where their mental construct's at, where their programs are at. I know, because that's the way I've taken things in the past for myself. So it... yeah, Mary Magdalene was the main character. And a lot of the healings that were done back then, all the... so-called miracles that were taking place, were mostly done by Mary and her high priestesses. The Christ back then to me was more revolutionary, had that revolutionary sort of edge to him, and that's why he became quite a thorn in the side for Imperial Rome and the empires back then. So that's my understanding of what took place back then, in summary.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Her second question is referencing Graham Hancock, but it comes down to she wants, or I don't even know if it's a she, they didn't write their name either. Do you know something about the topic, or what is the secret of the Sphinx? But did we cover that? I'm not sure.
Well, for me, the Sphinx is not a feline energy, it's a canine energy, and it has to do with the star system Sirius.
Okay.
It has to do with, because it's about, I know a lot of people think that the whole Egyptian structure there of the pyramids and everything is to do with the Nile being the central nerve and the Milky Way, a replication of the Milky Way, and then you've got all the different aspects of the different glands and that, and the pyramids and the temples and everything, and the pineal gland is represented there, and what have you, the Eye of Horus being the pineal gland, of course.
Right.
But you can understand that these are all the philosophies that were put onto the earth by many of the extraterrestrial beings who were bringing their spiritual and cultural philosophies to the people of earth as the ruling gods of the era, of the time. So when we look back at the Sphinx, when we look back at the pyramid texts, and we look at, you know, all these religious doctrines from the ruling elite of the time, and the ruling elite's spiritual practices of the time, I don't want to go for that. I've done that in previous lives. I don't want to do what the ruling elite do.
Right on.
I'm not interested in praying
right,
for their
great.
God. I'm not interested in their religious practices. You know, this Kundalini chakra pineal thing, where do you reckon it comes from? You know? It's like, I wish people could just see things from a slightly, you know, bigger perspective, because we look at, you know, there's all these professors studying all this ancient history in Egypt, and because the elite, the ruling elite did it back then, and only a select few, and they reached their spiritual enlightenment and blah, 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 and how fantastic it was for them. Yeah, but really think about it. The ruling elite are doing the same thing today, and do you want to be like them?
That
do you
want to
do the same spiritual
like
practices as them? And obtain the same form of enlightenment as them?
Mm.
You know, like, have a really good think about that.
Yeah.
And people don't see it from that perspective. And all the it's commentary. Like, when you look at all the people who are studying all these ancient texts and carvings and paintings and what have you, yeah, there's truth in there. But the majority is what the priestly caste has handed down to the people, what the scribes of the priestly caste wrote in stone, and all the religious practices and doctrines from the priestly caste, which has been on this planet for such a long time. And so when you have all these people who are basing their understanding of life by searching at texts and looking at the ancient history and approaching it from this analytical and intellectual and academic perspective, all they're doing, all they're giving us really is commentary within the parameters, the paradigms and the parameters of the ruling elite of the time and their spiritual practices and their spiritual doctrines. That's the reality. And when we can take into consideration what the commentary of these people is, what all these professors and what all these researchers are sharing with us, take it into consideration, just like you take what I have to say into consideration, but then you go beyond that. Because the moment you make that your everything, you're contained within those parameters, within that paradigm that those doctrines present. You know? So this is,
yeah,
I suppose, the perspective that I want to give to people, that I want to share with people, is broaden your horizons and understand that in ancient times, there was the ruling elite, and there's still some of those members are still on the planet today through time. They haven't perished because they moved into another frequency on the planet, and they're still here today, and they're still running the show behind the scenes from back then. So please understand there's a lot more to this than just reading some ancient text and thinking that's the way to enlightenment just because they did it back then.
Right on. Right on. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I have found in my own investigation of the ruling elite, you know, they're all fucked up. I just got to call a spade a spade. I mean, what they do to them as children, you know, purposely fracturing their minds and, you know, making them these, you know, fractured, robotic, non-feeling mental products. You know, I tell Janine all the time, I'm good without the billions. You know, this lifetime, you know, I don't know if I've been through that. I would imagine at some point in my incarnation I have been. But like, you know, like you just said, I don't envy, I don't wish to be an elite. It's like people really don't know behind the scenes, you know, even at just the human level, how incredibly challenging their lives are. You know, they're not living, you know, they're not on the beach sipping, you know, Mai Tais. They're whacked out people. At least that's my perception. I don't know.
Yeah. Some of them are very onto it. Some of them are very, I would say, very aware, but still need to mix in those circles. So their behavior, unfortunately, is still unsavory on many occasions. Some of them are our people, if you want to put it that way. I know it's a bit of an us and them type of movement. But some of the members of the ruling elite are actually our friends and family from, you know, that place within the drama that is here to help humanity. And when the time comes, they will become what they need to become. They'll become more of themselves and do what they need to do on that level to help the rest of us out, to help everybody else out. So,
okay, no, right on. And yes. Right on.
You know, in every area of life on the planet, we have people like us in there who are just at the moment undercover, good sakes, for want of a better term. And when the time comes, they do what they have to do because there's been a lot of searching and sorting out within those ranks to see who's, how would you say, loyal to the cause of the ruling elite and the god. The gods and then the god of religions and the ruling entities and who's not. And it's getting more difficult all the time. And there's people who are loyal who are being accused of not being loyal and get knocked off. You know what I mean?
Gotta love a paradox.
At the moment, there's a lot of infighting and there's a lot of sharks eating other sharks is probably the best way to put it.
Okay, right on. Right on. Thank you for that. And yeah, I was a little, you know, part of the reason why I get a little high energy on that subject is, you know, I live amongst the wealthy, and I swear the stork hiccuped and dropped me in this incredibly wealthy area that they're so lacking in the emotional soul department, you know, in the area that I live in, and so it's personally one of my my challenges. That's why I chose. Believe me, you don't want to be amongst the elite. It's not all it's cracked up to be.
There's very serious protocol when it comes to that arena of life. They function from protocol. Protocol's big for these people. And decorum. A very, very big deal. So that's why they're so robotic most of the time.
Oh, it's so... And I watch them raise kids. It's sad. It really is. But that's another, you know, we'll do another show on that. Okay, we still have a few minutes left. That was all the audience's questions. I was wondering if you could help share the, and this question came to me when I was contemplating kind of what was going on within the forum and everything, because there is such a difference in your message when you look at your message from your heart or from the mind.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could, you know, just share any insights of how those are really very different frequencies, different, in my humble opinion, I think they're different timelines and different worlds. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'd say that's an accurate depiction. And just like you and everybody else listening, I'm going through the process as well. So for people to have thought that I had every single answer and I'm some sort of God, being totally unrealistic, because, yes, we're all gods and we're all creators from that point of view, but you know where my commentary just then came from. So people need to understand that I've always spoken from my heart. I've just written a big article about December 21, 2012, and a bit of what transpired, because things got really nasty around that time. And Cynthia and I were away, and we were travelling through, we were camping in the bush, what you call a forest, and we just felt all this angry energy around us. It was really, really intense. And we thought, what's going on here? And then, you know, we heard down the track a few days later that the forum had been shut down and all that sort of stuff. So there was some very unfortunate set of circumstances that took place. And, you know, throughout 2012, you know, I felt a shift in the timeline. And I've just written a really big article to do with that. It's just coming out in the newsletter. It'll come out tomorrow or the next day. And there's quite an in-depth article to do with December 21, 2012 and what transpired. And, and why I said the things that I said. And I've always spoken from my heart, always. Well, try to, and there's times when I'm speaking from my head, even though I'm thinking I'm speaking from my heart. So I haven't always got the process down pat to 100% perfection, but I've been intending to speak from my heart, put it this way, always. That was my intention. And so...
I love you, George.
At the end, around the end of 2011, I felt a shift in the timeline. And in the beginning of 2012, after processing it for a while, and that was around the time of what Coleman was saying, Dr. Coleman, about October 2011. That's actually felt
okay.
It. He was, I think he was on the money with that, with a shift that took place around that time. The semantics of the description and all that, I don't bother with that too much. I think he was on the money when it comes to a major shift taking place at that time. I agree with that because I experienced it. I went through a shift,
okay.
Cynthia did, and we felt the shift globally, and also coffee. And I, early 2012, went about saying that, you know, I'm retracting on my predictions. Not all of them, but, you know, on the one about the Earth straightening up on her axis from December 21, 2012 to the equinox 2013. And I did so throughout just about every single interview throughout 2012. So... And I even was involved in this panel discussion with Lisa Harrison on the lead up to December 21, 2012, which started on the 12th of December 2012. So I was the second person interviewed. I was interviewed on the 13th of December 2012. And then I spoke about as well. And actually the people that were interviewing me said to me, "We really admire you, George, because you got up and you've said throughout the year that you've retracted on your predictions and, you know, on one level you've got it wrong and all this sort of stuff, and you admit you did that, and we just admire you for that and respect you greatly for having the courage to get up and do that." And what was really, really weird was, you know, all that was going on throughout the whole year and people weren't listening, and they invested more of themselves into the prediction. They didn't want to hear what I was saying and kept focusing on the prediction and focusing and focusing and making it their everything. And then something, I was on another interview, I think it was around the just about a week before or even a few days before with Peter Tung. I talked about a 900-day gestation period, and that was the trigger that just made people go crazy on the forum. They lost it, and it was the trigger. For them, the realization, I suppose, hit at that moment for all those who weren't listening up until that point in time, because the energy built up, the pressure was building up inside of them, and then it just let go. And it was a free-for-all. But it wasn't just that. There was so many variables involved. You know, there's so many layers to this as to what happened on the forum. And Cynthia and I were just sitting back watching it all. It was great. We just got to see who's who, what's what, and where everyone's at. We really got to see where people are at. And we got to see the people who fell into a pattern. And this is the way I've described it in the letter. We kind of fall into the cycle of disappointment, because I've fallen into this cycle before, so I know how to recognize it. Then we go to disillusionment, then we go to resentment, and then we go into a sense of betrayal, which ultimately leads to blame. So this is the cycle that we've entered into. And we saw it play out. It was quite amazing. And there was so much anger projected towards myself and Cynthia, so bad that the moderators of the forum had to shut it down. And and we said, okay, you know, it's probably time that the forum just stands alone now. I'm not interested in having a forum on my website anymore. And JP and Brandy also, they said to us that they'd like to, you know, have it as a standalone thing as well. So it was a communal consensus thing. We all agreed it was the best thing. And so the forum now is a standalone thing, which I think it's great. It needs to be. People need to stand in their own sovereignty, in their own right.
Exactly. And, exactly.
Yeah. And that's really what happened. And like I said, I've written an article which goes much deeper into it, because ultimately the underlying subconscious issue is subservience. That's the program of subservience, which is what led people to have this experience. And that's what, in a brief summary, that's what's happened.
Right. And ironically, I appreciate your sharing, because, you know, what happens to you kind of happens to a lot of us that speak from our heart. Because, like, you know, the way I share it is that, you know, like, because me and Janine have been told, you know, we repeat ourselves when we do our show. And it's like, you know, we're very spontaneous in that every week, essentially what we're talking about is what we're clearing and integrating and what we're faced with. And, you know, from a pretty blunt and honest perspective. And, you know, I can see people who get addicted to the, what I call the horizontal information. They just want new information as opposed to the vertical information, which is the feeling and the depth of what we're sharing. You know, what we're sharing, that, you know, this is the organic route. You know, this is, you know, integration and laughing and, you know, bringing light and humor to it, but also expressing, you know, the pain and it's challenging and you know, just kind of doing our thing. And, you know, I wasn't really a part of the forum, but I had heard about it. But I can see it, you know, like I said, in our own experiences, when they just want new information. It's like, that's the head. The head, you know, you can never get in. If you want new information, well, then, you know, go look up a new prospect. You know, go like, you know, like, you know, I'm happy to share a new experience, but I can't guarantee it's going to be quote unquote new information, because, you know, what I share is the process I'm going through. You know, I'm not trying to become famous here. I'm trying to, you know, I feel called to do this. Janine feels called to do this, so we do it. You know, I have a resonance with, you know, when I see them doing that to you as well, going, you know, George, come on, what's new? What's new? It's like, gee, have you even gotten what he first said?
You know, people, the buzz factor is, they're chasing the buzz factor in a way. It's a symbiotic thing, because on one level there's a buzz factor, because I did too, and on another level is, no, they're really trying to understand life, and they want to get the best understanding they can. At the same time, we fall into this habitual nature of seeking, and I wrote about that in the article too. And I've got a quote here. We already are that which we seek. And we are. But, you know, and in helping people to achieve that is by people coming across the information that I'm sharing, is because that's where I want to ultimately is help guide people is into themselves, so then they can just be autonomous,
exactly.
Sovereign.
Exactly.
There's a lot of people that said, George, I don't need to listen to you anymore. And I went, fantastic. That is so, that's music to my heart, you know. And I honestly want to say, too, that there was more than one thing going on with that forum, because this happened on numerous forums around the planet. And there was also a lot of trolls and what we would call shills, S-H-I-L-L-S, which were sleepers. They're like sleepers. And they were waiting for the right time. And what they did was they rallied the troops. And they... It's like when you have a peace protest, a peaceful protest, but then it ends up turning violent, because there's people that have been planted into that peaceful protest to turn it into something violent. And that's exactly what happened.
I've heard of that.
There's so many speakers
out there.
That makes
sense. That makes sense. I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's true.
Yeah, they can't kill us all, so they needed to find a way to supposedly character assassinate us. And the way they needed to do that was to discredit us in any way, shape, or form that they can, to find anything they can to pin on us, to blow it out of all proportions, to make that the main point of focus. And the whole agenda is political. And it was all about character assassination. And it was obvious, all the people that fell into that trap. It was obvious for us as observers seeing what was going on. Because anybody who was listening to what I was saying would have heard me throughout a whole year of me retracting on those. Come on, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, please,
yeah.
You know, let's get a grip on reality. Yeah. How often do I have to say something before people are going to get it? So it comes down to people needing to take responsibility for themselves. I'm taking responsibility for what I've said. I'm being honest the whole way through. You know, in the article, I talk about how what disgusts me, you know, you've got the timeshare experiments that said the same thing, the Montauk experiments. You've got my Whitlock that showed exactly the same thing in the timeline that I was talking about. So there was just so many people that had that heart connection with that timeline. We all did. So many of us did. And we shouldn't just get angry and just blame. So quick blame. It's just amazing. Rather than just really seeing what actually the process we went through as individuals. And, you know, what I experienced was magnificent for me, because all those people that projected all that anger and blame towards me, I just want you to know that you've been some of my great teachers. You've made me so much stronger. I can't tell you how strong I am now because of that. So
I'm
so grateful.
Right on.
All your anger. All your blame as well. So I'm exploring all areas of this whole scenario. Let's look at all the wisdom we can gain from the shared experience we had with one another. And I've written about that too. So there's so many different elements and dynamics and machinations to this whole 2012 scenario. Don't just bury it and walk away from it because it hurts. Go back, revisit the pain, work with the pain. Look at what it's done for you. Extract the wisdom from the lessons that you are to learn from this whole experience, that the experience that I facilitated and the experience that you participated in, that we both facilitate for each other. Because believe me, I've learned from you too.
You're awesome. I really enjoy our time together, George. I really, really enjoy it. Hey, and listen, next time you come to the States, come to New York. Sorry, I just thought I'd mention that.
Thank you so much. So helpful and, you know, so authentic. And I find it to be true that taking responsibility, that's really what it's about, you know, taking self-responsibility. So such a great invitation.
but scares people. Or
wait a minute, we lost George.
Oh, really?
He dropped. I have no idea why.
Oh, well, the connection was, you know, somewhat.
He was going, yeah, okay, I'm going to assume he's calling back, even though it's a few minutes. I mean, we still got five minutes left, and I want him to share, you know, all his contact, you know, where to get the movie. Here we go.
Okay, good.
Hey,
hello?
Where'd you go, Punkin?
Oh, I got cut off.
The powers that be are so afraid when we get angry, aren't they? Show a little gumption. No, we really appreciate your share.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Just trying to just look at it from all perspectives, from my end, from their end, from every possible perspective, because of wisdom. We get extract as much wisdom out of it as we can and really learn from it.
Yeah, and that's always a potential. That's the beauty of it. It's always there, you know, and it'll change your life when you do. It'll change, you know, taking responsibility. Oh, it's such an amazing, you know, there's challenges to it, but, oh, it so beats being a victim. Oh, my God, like, there's no contest there. It's amazing.
Oh, so many people want me to play the victim with this. They want me to because they feel they're a victim in this. You see, it's the victimhood mentality.
Yeah.
So they're trying to project that onto me, and I'm not going to go there. I'm going to be really wise about this whole thing, and I'm not going to play that game.
Hmm. Well, I appreciate that. Because, you know, I'm with you, George. I won't be a victim either. I just won't.
And it feels like presence won't even allow that anyway.
Yeah,
exactly. You know? Just won't. So, like a repellent.
So, if I can share with people, make sure you read that article, because even if you weren't involved in that process, there's some great wisdom in there for people to consider as well. And it'll be up on our website soon, but it'll also be available through the newsletter that's coming out. And you know, our website is ourjourneyhome.com.au. And we have the book as well, which is Our Universal Journey. You can go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au. And, of course, we have our own little radio podcast called Super Woo Radio, which is Super Woo Radio. Super Woo spelled super, like you do normally, and Woo's W-O-O. So superwooradio.com.au. So we're very excited about that too.
Yeah, great podcast. Really, really enjoy those. Thank you so much for being here, George. What a fantastic way to spend a Tuesday night, or a Wednesday morning in your case.
just so I appreciate it. I got one more website if I can just quickly share it. And that And that is ourjourneyhomemovie.com.au. Don't forget we've got the DVD there, and you can stream it as well. And it's really good. A lot of people enjoying that. It's a nice bridging sort of energy, because there's a lot of other fantastic speakers, people of great wisdom talking in that. Oh, Terence, the Aboriginal Elder, I spent time with that unbelievable stuff. My goodness, those people.
Well, I haven't seen that. I have to see that.
They are,
I own the movie. It's extraordinary. It's just a wonderful, and I love that we get to see you and Cynthia too. Because
what is
I have
that called? Our Journey. What is that called again?
Our Journey Home Movie. .com.au. Is that right?
Yeah.
That
was correct? ourjourneyhomemovie.com.au.
Okay.
I got to get that.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a beautiful experience. Well, George, we did it, and I didn't have to run to the bathroom once. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, always a pleasure. And if you ever have, you know, a message that you need to get out to the public, I'm absolutely here for you always. I mean, I'll definitely invite you back. But if you ever just needed, you know, a forum to speak on, you know, I'm a large supporter of courage and sovereignty. And, you know, I'm with you. I'm truly with you.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for being here tonight.
Thank you, George. Such beautiful information, and I've been listening intently. So, thank you so much.
Thank you, Janine. It's always a pleasure. I really appreciate you holding the space the way you do. It's amazing. I love your energy, mate.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I wanted to be here, so thank you.
Yeah, she's my Cynthia, George.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
It is. It is. All yeah. right, sweet. So I love you. I love you, and we'll talk soon. And many blessings to both you and Cynthia. And you know, we'll see how it goes for the equinox and onward. I'm very excited.
Oh, we didn't get a chance to talk about that. Yeah, no compression, maximum compression for me, and I'm really looking forward to it. Very exciting stuff, and I'll release something to do with that soon too. But shine bright, everybody, and just know my love for you is eternal.
Oh, right on, right on. Back at you, my sweet friend. Really, you're amazing. And hey, you never know. It's only February. Maybe we'll have you on one more time before the equinox, if you have the time.
Yeah, that'd be really good. We'll organize that.
Outstanding.
Behind the scenes.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, you listen. You have a fabulous day. Thank you, everybody. I know I didn't have a chat room and I didn't open phone calls. But you guys were all great. That, you know, I got to all your questions. I made sure I got to all your questions. So I hope you all enjoyed the interview, and I look forward to more. So take care, everybody.
Bye. Good night, everybody, and good day.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.